You know, I wanted a little more out of that last sports minute. I didn't get enough. You were talking about the Chinese tennis player Peng Shuai, who had gone missing after accusing a very powerful Chinese politician of sexual assault.
That's right.
And
I only had 20 seconds. I wish I could have expanded my thoughts, but when you get cut in half, that's, you know, you just leave part of the story, and then the rest of the story's out there, and you got, you know, hopefully people are inspired to go find out more.
You should
about
say
story.
Something at the end, like Google the story if you'd like more.
Maybe I will.
Or go to CBSSports.com if you'd like more. Maybe you should do something like that because you don't have enough time these days.
Yeah, the rest of the story.
And the rest of the story.
To get the rest of the
story. But I got the rest of that story from the WTA itself, from Steve Simon, the CEO of the WTA, which, they have taken a major stand. And I wonder if this Peng Shuai thing is going to impact the Olympics. Because what they're doing by pulling all of their tournaments out of China, now they've been very successful there, just like the NBA has been very successful there, and I'm sure other sports leagues and baseball and everybody else has been very successful there. But finally, somebody's got the stones to stand up and say enough is enough. You know, and you know, maybe Enes Kanter isn't in this fight alone.
No, I don't believe that he is.
I don't see, you know, the commissioner of the NBA standing up and saying we're not playing over there because of this woman. I don't see LeBron James standing up for her.
No, absolutely
not. So now it's taken to WTA and Steve Simon, their chairman, who's got the full support of his board, by the way.
Which
full
is
support
great.
Of his board.
Thank God.
Now the question is, and as he says in his statement, and this is where I read this yesterday, I was like, wow, it's a big deal. You know, he's calling on world leaders now to put pressure on the Chinese government over this.
So there was a video call with her?
Yeah, so they believe that she has been pressured into retracting or redacting everything that she has said. And they believe that she's unsafe. And they don't want their women tennis players over there playing, or any tennis players for that matter, over there playing because they worry about their safety because of situations like this.
It says the international, this is from the Times, it says the International Olympic Committee said Thursday it had held a second call with the Chinese tennis player Peng Shuai, trying to anew to deflect criticism of its light touch approach to China only months before the 2022 Winter Games in Beijing. I mean, what a farce this whole Olympics thing is. I mean, China pays all his money. It's probably all Fugazi money to the IOC so they could show off their country how great it is. But meanwhile, it's just a communist disaster.
Well, it's not. Okay. I don't want to get knee deep into all of that.
But
the Olympics are just that. It's a propaganda machine to bring the world to Beijing and show the world how great Beijing is and all these different things and what a great country it is. Meanwhile, I'd like to think we all know the truth.
Yeah, I would hope so at this point. Dennis is in Port Jefferson. What's going on, Dennis?
Good morning, fellas. How are you?
Good. All right, what's happening, Dennis?
Not much. I listen and watch you guys every day, but I've been calling Al Dukes for probably a month and a half now, and finally, Enes Kanter came out and brought this to light, and I don't think that between football, basketball, golf, hockey, every sport, they deal with Nike, which is out of China. I think it's an absolute disgrace that we do this, and it hasn't been addressed until Enes Kanter came out and spoke about it. You got LeBron James, who makes a ton of money from this horrible regime, where they pay their workers 20 cents an hour, and they sell these shoes to all our professional sports. I think it's a disgrace. I do my very best not to buy anything from China, Korea, Japan. Just do it in America. And I'm surprised that, you know, it hasn't been addressed more.
Well, I've done about, I would say, a good 6 or 7 sports minutes on Peng Shuai. And I have spoken.
You just
about
did a sports 20 seconds on it, too.
Yeah, I did. I just did, yeah.
Yeah.
But we have also spoken about Enes Kanter. Freedom, by the way, is his last name now.
Yeah, Enes Freedom Kanter.
He is now an American citizen. So we have spoken about it. So I don't know what he's listening to, or I don't know how much we can do any more than what we've already done.
Sure.
I mean, unless I'm going to go over to the Chinese consulate and sit over there and sit in front of their buses. I'm not doing that.
And to single out Nike,
there's a lot of places.
I mean, look around your house. Look in your closet.
Yeah.
It's not just Nike.
It's everything else. But the problem is the hypocrisy that's attached to all of it. That's what's driving the hatred and the, you know, that's what Enes Kanter's leaning on. You know, he's basically calling out LeBron, saying you're a hypocrite. You talk about social justice here in this country, where this country is the greatest country in the world, the freest country in the world. Meanwhile, we have a million Muslim Uyghurs over there that are, you know, being enslaved essentially to work for the Chinese communist government. That's what Enes Kanter is saying, and not a peep out of LeBron James in regards to any of this stuff. So it goes back to the hypocrisy of all of this.
My shoes are made in Vietnam. Am I okay or no?
Probably not.
Probably not.
Most likely.
New Balance made it. I have a pair of New Balance. Are they made in the U.S.?
I don't know.
Hello?
Hello? Yeah, you're asking questions that I didn't think we were going to get into this morning.
It's
because of this Peng Shui situation.
Yeah. Where are New Balance made? Let's see. That doesn't come up right away. They've got some, you know what? They've got 5 facilities, New Balance, in Maine and Massachusetts. So look at that. That's pretty good.
Well, there you go.
Now I feel a little bit better about that, then. Yeah. Well, I mean, we're not going to talk about this every single day.
No, we're not. And we haven't spoken about it every single day either.
Yeah, but the NBA is never going to crack. LeBron's never going to crack. Adam Silver's never going to crack. You saw what happened with Daryl Morey. I mean, the guy was completely roasted. People were coming to the defense of China during that time, and not Daryl Morey with the free Hong Kong tweet.
You know what's
going on.
Well, and remember, Houston Rockets were a big deal in China because of Yao Ming.
That's right. 100%. It was their most popular franchise.
Right. Now, all of a sudden, boom, persona non grata, and guess who's in Philadelphia? Daryl Morey.
Yep.
Daryl Morey and his can of freedom. You know, I mean, at least they're all standing up and saying what they need to say. I don't know why they can't say it. They are saying it, and we've heard it.
Sure. Loud and clear now. Enes Kanter's making a big point of calling out LeBron. LeBron stayed silent throughout this whole thing. LeBron's more concerned about this COVID conspiracy than anything else. Says some conspiracy to keep him off the court.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Gio.
He's watching the Alec Baldwin special tonight. Alec Baldwin's... Al Hughes has got his hand raised.
Oh, I can't wait.
You're into this?
100%.
See, I'm surprised, actually, that you're into this, because I feel like, is there going to be a lot of story behind the story with this?
Yeah.
Like, you think so?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it feels to me like the guy who was in charge of the gun on that set...
Or the woman.
I thought it was a guy, the head of the assistant director.
It all depends on who you're talking to.
Well, whatever.
It sounds like everybody's running for the hills. And, you know, depending on what he says tonight, could be used against them in a civil suit.
Well, already the thing that came out from it, the teaser on it, is that he said he didn't even pull the trigger.
What?
That's right.
How's that possible?
I don't know. Tune in to George Stephanopoulos tonight.
Stephanopoulos. Does he get paid for this, you think, Alec Baldwin?
No.
You don't think so?
No, not at all.
I don't know, man.
Not
it's
at
a
all.
Big interview. Everybody wanted this interview. Why did he choose George Stephanopoulos?
Soft landing.
Yeah, buddies with George Stephanopoulos.
Soft landing?
Oh, 100%.
All you need to know about George Stephanopoulos is they're friends with Howard Stern, so.
Yeah. Oh, okay. All right, I could kind
you
of
follow.
Stephanopoulos got the interview. So he wasn't going to go to, like, cable news or something like that. He wasn't going to Newsmax.
He wasn't going to Fox News.
Yeah. No.
Stephanopoulos and Howard Stern are tight?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Huh.
Hollywood Howie's tight with all those people now.
You know who I'm tight with? Country music star Jordan Davis. Yes, that's right. Jordan Davis is calling back.
That's right.
Just want to let everybody
about
know
all
about
the
that.
Famous people you have, you know, brushed elbows with in your career, and Jordan Davis is the guy that makes you go fanboy.
Well, it was listen, it's hard to defend.
Yeah.
But I will say the reason why I was so excited is because it was happening while we were on the air, and it was just perfect that I was more excited about the fact that we could advance the story while the show was going on.
Right.
More good than spin. Anything else.
Excellent.
Yeah. How about the part where you were all, what about the part where you were all concerned about the FaceTime and you thought that
was embarrassing. That's embarrassing. Well, even all these guys agree with me on
really,
that.
If you really
it was embarrassing.
If it really wasn't that important, you didn't care, why would it matter?
I didn't say I didn't care.
Mm.
But if it wasn't for that FaceTime, he would have never called back.
I know. I told you were right about that.
Yep.
You ended up being right. So, anyway, look at him stiff arming.
Dude, very weak.
Yes.
I told you I didn't want to hurt Boomer.
Sure.
That's what it was.
Also good spin.
Yeah, so what do you got over there?
Powered by Superbook, now open with better odds and favorable prices. Also sponsored by Jackpocket. Play official state lottery games on your phone. MLB lockout is in effect, and all you need to do right now is take a look at MLB.com. It is bare bones. They have basically stripped down anything that has to do with players, any player mentions, pictures of players, articles written about players. It ceases to exist on MLB's website right now, and that will continue to be the case until a new CBA is agreed upon, and they basically put a statement up about
that. That's a whole new thing you got to worry about.
Yeah.
Digital. Like it's a whole new thing. Social media.
Yep.
The internet.
That's right.
All of it.
It's going to be a different time right now until they get this figured out. Anyway, here's Max Scherzer on how Steve Cohen convinced him to join the Mets other than the $130 million.
Steve said it's whatever it takes to win here. That he looks at this as he wants to win a championship, and he's going to do whatever it takes to win.
And he says that was a refreshing outlook to hear, especially right now.
You don't hear that from owners too often these days. And you know, when you can finally hear an owner, you know, want to do what it takes to win, you know, obviously, you know, that piqued my interest.
Now I'm looking at the picture of him and Scott Boras.
Can we wipe the lens or something?
I mean, it looks like they're in heaven. Doesn't it?
Yes, there's a shine on Boras specifically.
Well, shine, I think they both look like they're in like...
glowing.
Like one of those... witch shows that we were watching here.
Charmed?
Yeah. They look like they're coming in charmed, don't they?
Well, they said like in the later days of Barbara Walters at 2020, they would like Vaseline on the lens to make it look glowing and you couldn't see any wrinkles.
Yeah.
Is that really right?
Yeah, absolutely. They used to do...
They had to be doing that off of somebody's iPad or... Couldn't have been a camera.
This, yes. That's what I'm wondering. Like, it's head high. It doesn't look like they're sitting down. So yeah, what do? They got like a tripod with a phone or an iPad or something, and then no one said, "Hey, maybe back that thing up a little."
I mean, Scott Boras doesn't make enough money that he couldn't have his own like camera crew there.
He didn't care.
You
he just
can't
wanted
even see the Met hat on. Sure,
so
he
bad.
Puts the Met hat on. You just see the brim.
Yeah.
Oh well. He said during the Zoom he didn't know what number he was going to wear yet. If you're one of these Met fans that wants to run out and get a jersey, and you're interested in what number he's wearing, it has been revealed he will wear number 21. Starling Marte is taking Jeff McNeil's number 6. He's switching to number 1, apparently, assuming he's even on the team. Eduardo Escobar will be number 10, and Mark Canna will be number 19. So there you go. They have decided on their jersey number, so you can look forward to that once the new CBA is agreed upon and baseball returns, whenever that is. One thing the Mets can do during the lockout is find their new manager. Billy Epler said he's got a pretty wide list of candidates and should begin the formal interviews very soon. But if you're looking for any names right now, sorry.
Hey, let me tell you this. In fairness to those particular candidates, any candidate, like, I'm not going there.
All right, Epler with Cardin Roberts here on The Fan yesterday. As far as the roster goes now, pretty happy with their depth.
In a way where it can cover this 162-game season that we got to endure, right?
Right.
Right.
Injuries are inevitable, of course.
There could be times where somebody goes down, and if we're plugging with some of these guys that are forecasted to maybe be on the bench, I feel pretty good about that.
So there you go. They feel like the guys they've added, they've got some pieces that can move around and some depth, and it's all good. I guess that's what happens when you spend as much money as they did on the four guys over the course of the last couple of days. Marcus Stroman letting you know he's going to the Cubs, 3-year deal. I haven't seen numbers on that. Did you guys see numbers on that?
I heard 3 years, like
$71 million. Not bad.
Wonder if he started blocking the Chicago media.
Oh, I'm sure he did. 100%. It's incredible. Even people who supported him, he blocked. It just didn't matter who.
Yeah. We learned about our soft Hawks or whatever the heck earlier this morning. How about this? Former Pirates outfielder Jose Ozuna has signed a 3-year extension with the Tokyo Yakult Swallows.
Oh.
Another team out there in Japan, the Swallows.
Good for him.
So a lot of guys, I guess, are going to head over there now because they want to make sure they get a contract and they've got a job because you don't know what's going on with MLB. Let's go to the football. Here's Daniel Jones from yesterday on this mysterious neck injury that has everybody trying to figure out what the heck's going on with the Giants.
I felt okay during the game, just kind of after the game, some soreness and, but like I said, I'm feeling better now.
And Joe Judge said he's going to practice. He practiced yesterday. He'll practice today, tomorrow. Haven't ruled him out for Sunday, but also when he was asked, Judge, that is, if this was a potential season-ending injury, he said not at this time. So I guess they'll just wait and see how he progresses and how he feels as they go along. You could still be looking at Mike Glennon against the Dolphins Sunday, but that is TBD. With the Jets, Robert Saleh walking back that Brian Kelly anecdote from almost 3 years ago that resurfaced earlier this week. We talked about it yesterday. He was asked about that during his press conference.
You know, I feel terrible because that whole thing was taken out of context.
And, sure it was.
Yeah, parking cars and shoveling snow comes with the territory when you're paying your dues.
Part of being a GA, every single coach in this profession, there's a rite of passage when you're a GA and a QC, and that was a funny story.
Yes, he says he was asked to tell a funny story as part of the interview, and that's what he offered.
Yeah, but he also exactly said, I vowed never to treat anybody like that.
Well, he and Matt LaFleur agreed that they would not. It was like a pact that they had. Apparently, but he feels that it was taken out of context. So, hey, I love Brian Kelly.
Not an indictment on how Brian treated us. Brian is a phenomenal man. He really is.
And he says,
phenomenal,
my bad. Yeah, I didn't communicate it properly.
You know, shame on me. I should have worded it better. But there's a reason why Matt went back and worked for him. There's a reason why I tried to go back and work for him. He's a really good man. He treats people the right way.
And I guess when he got the Notre Dame job, Saleh tried to get on the staff. I don't know why that didn't work out, but he was asked, oh, when did you try and go back to work for him? Oh, when you went to Notre Dame. I'm in his corner, even right now, as everyone else is blasting him.
I'm always one of his biggest fans, and I feel awful that it was taken in that light.
So it's all his fault. So.
Didn't you have Lane Kiffin washing your car there, Boomer?
I did.
Yes. I thought so.
Yeah, well, he was a GA working for Pete Carroll, and he wanted to make some extra money, so he made some extra money.
Oh, perfect. So you paid him. You didn't just make
it. Yeah, of course I did.
All right, just making sure.
It's all right. Don't worry about it. By the way, I'm reading this article about Alec Baldwin and George Stephanopoulos.
Stephanopoulos?
All right, so someone put a live bullet in a gun, a bullet that wasn't supposed to be on the property. This is what Alec Baldwin is saying. And then on October 21st, Baldwin was holding an antique revolver during a dress rehearsal for the Western at the Bonanza Creek Ranch near Santa Fe when it discharged, killing the film's cinematographer. So if he's holding the gun, how could he have not pulled the trigger?
It's just discharging on its own?
Just discharged on its own?
Yeah.
Is that what he's going to be claiming tonight,
Al? That's what his defense may be.
I don't know. If anybody thinks Alec Baldwin was on a movie set, picked up a gun and shot someone on purpose, you're nuts.
No, not shot someone on purpose. The question is why was it a live round in there?
Yes.
And but why still, was he pointing it at somebody?
If people want to blame Alec Baldwin for that, it's weird.
He's an unlikable guy, and people want to blame him for it. It's not fair, but that's why.
Unlikable guy, but he's not a murderer.
No.
Right.
This was a mistake.
If there was any chance of that happening, he wouldn't have done it.
Of course.
And he said he had no reason to suspect, which we all believe. He had no reason to suspect that a live bullet was in the prop gun. And then he also talked about the woman that he killed.
Yeah.
You know, and there was also a director that was shot and injured as well. But he's saying he didn't pull the trigger, so I guess that's alluding to the fact that the gun went off by itself.
I don't know enough about this. Was an antique gun?
Well, that's what he's saying in this article.
I don't know if that could. I don't know anything about handguns. So
I was going to say the same. I don't know enough, but isn't it almost like if you just squeeze or apply a little pressure, you're not actually like necessarily pulling it, but maybe if he was just squeezing the gun a little too tightly.
On Tuesdays, on this past Tuesday, Santa Fe County Sheriff's Office issued a new search warrant detailing that investigators may have found the source of the live bullet fired by Baldwin on the Rust set. So he's claiming he didn't pull the trigger, but he was holding the gun. So the gun went off.
I think he had said in the early interviews or that came out in the police report, the claim was he was rehearsing what he was going to do when they started shooting the scene, and that's why he was holding the gun. I think he said something along the lines of, all right, so I'm going to pick it up, and I'm going to point it like this. Like, he was mimicking, okay, once we go live or action or whatever, this is what I'm going to do. And right. apparently that's when it went off.
And I also heard that they did have live bullets around the set because they were doing, like, target practice and stuff, and they were shooting on the set, so that's how maybe live bullets had gotten into some of these guns.
Right, and the armorer is a woman, by the way, who was very inexperienced.
Just a wild guess. They're not going to finish this movie?
I think they've announced that they've shut it down.
Yeah. Just a wild guess, yeah. There's no way you can go back and finish this movie and put it out.
And he said he's taking a break from any other projects for a while.
Okay.
Which you would expect.
Yeah,
according to the warrant, it says that somebody gave 200 to 300 rounds of lime ammunition during a training session with actors at a gun range. Hmm.
I feel like you're going to be into this tonight. You're going to be watching now.
Tonight? He's into it right now.
Yeah, you're going to definitely be watching.
I fully believe it's an accident on the part of Alec Baldwin. I don't think there's any malice or any intent there. But if he's claiming he didn't pull the trigger, I'd like to see how that gets explained.
Well, there's your hook. And that's why you'll check.
I'll wait for the...
You'll get the highlights.
The highlights or the lowlights.
If you don't want to watch Alec Baldwin with George Stephanopoulos tonight, you can tune into The Fan. We have Westwood One's coverage of Thursday Night Football, the Cowboys and the Saints from New Orleans. Bizarre game because you've got the COVID situation with Dallas. Mike McCarthy is not going to be a part of it. You've got Dan Quinn who's going to come down and handle the decisions on the sideline. He comes out of the booth. Amari Cooper's coming back from COVID. Zeke may or may not carry a serious load tonight, according to Jerry Jones. The Saints have their injury situation. Taysom Hill is apparently going to start. He's got the foot. Alvin Kamara's got the knee. He's got the questionable game. There's a lot going on here.
And you got Ben McAdoo coaching.
Yeah, I didn't know about that angle until you mentioned it earlier. Yes. So he's involved as well.
He was a consultant, but now he'll be coaching tonight.
A lot of different angles to that one. Last night at the Garden, the angle was the Rangers beat the Flyers.
Here's Kako again.
Been red hot,
little Chris Kreider on a breakaway.
Oh yeah,
Chris Kreider on a breakaway.
Yeah, better get ready to break all these songs out again, Al.
Who held that puck in at the blue line? Was that Trouba?
I think it was Trouba, and then it ended up getting over to Zibanejad, to Kako, then to. Yeah. That was unbelievable.
The old tic-tac-toe.
Tac-toe, yes. Beautiful. That was nice.
4-1 victory. Fourth straight win. 8 out of 9.
Man, the Flyers
Philly
suck.
Has dropped 7 in a row. Poor Elaine Vigneault. That's a shame.
Oh,
Trouba,
yeah.
Hunt, Kreider, Panarin, empty netter. Those were your goal scorers. And Shesterkin made 33 saves. I think 7 during that 5-minute power play when Hunt gets the game misconduct for boarding. They're chanting his name at the Garden. He was asked about that after and how he felt. Here he was through his translator.
The most important thing is to try to not cry right then and there.
Yeah.
Holding back the tears.
Yeah, there's no crying in hockey.
You know?
Unless Mark Messier cries, then we all can cry.
Yeah, but it would never during the game. On retirement nights or...
Oh, that Henrik Lundqvist requirement night. It's required to be there. That retirement night's going to be like, oh, man, it's going to be crying. Everybody's going to be crying.
Rangers will play the Sharks Friday. San Jose taking on the Islanders tonight as the Isles come out of their little COVID layoff. And you've also got the Knicks and the Bulls at the Garden.
Who is the biggest Mets fan in the building right now who is actually physically in here right now? You would know. You're a guy out there is friends with people. Is it Pete Hoffman?
Bilotti.
In the building.
So I got a proposition for
probably a split, a toss-up between Bilotti and Hoffman,
okay.
I would say.
All right.
Definitely not Al.
So I got a proposition for one of these guys. Yeah, definitely not Al. Al didn't know Mike Piazza played for the Mets,
check
of course.
That. No, I knew he played. I just didn't watch a single game other than that 9/11
94 game. To 07, he was checked out.
Checked out.
Yeah.
So you watched the 9/11 game, and then you parachuted in to see the Diamondbacks beat the Yankees in the 0-1 World Series.
Correct.
He missed the Joe Torre winning years, but he made sure to see the 9/11 year, and the Yankees have their hearts broken.
Yeah,
in Game 7.
Dip in and out.
Right.
Dip in and out.
Yeah, when it was big news, when it was buzz.
Yeah, right now, no buzz.
Yeah.
No buzz anywhere. Lockout.
Al, who had the game-winning hit for the Diamondbacks in that Game 7?
Gonzalez.
All right.
What was his first name?
Andre.
Andre Gonzalez.
It's not a bad guess.
Luis. Luis.
I just know he hit off of the Mariano. Ultimate closer who never blows a save. Only the World Series after 9/11.
Great.
When we're
broken
all,
bad.
When we're all counting on single. You. Yeah. Anyway.
He really hit the crap out of that one.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Gio.
I'm hiding my computer screen here so there's no cheating in what's about to happen. And if, Eddie, you can get me that Mets Butcher and the Baker song, please, to get that ready. New York Mets Baseball is produced by Dove Kramer. All right, so Pete Hoffman, who is the producer of Moose and Maggie, he said to me when I was looking for the biggest Mets fan in the building right now, he goes, I'm die hard. I'm die hard outside of the thing. Me, I'm the guy. I'm die hard. Okay, well, we'll see how die hard you are. So CeeLo said that Max Scherzer is going to wear number 21.
Yes, I saw that report.
All right, number 21. I've got $100 for you right here, okay?
Okay.
$100. Can you name five Mets who have worn number 21 in the history of the organization for $20 for each one?
Probably not, but let's see. Let's give it a shot. Kevin Elster, is he on there?
Yes, there you go. Here's $20. Right. Bucks. There you go. Very good. $20.
Right. Rico Bronya.
Rico Bronya. He was, I believe, 23. He is not on this.
Wrong. Wrong.
Jay Payton.
Wrong.
Jay Payton, no, he was not a
21. Wrong.
Alex Ochoa? Ochoa, no. Nope.
Wrong. Wrong.
Whoa. What are you doing over there?
I got nothing. I got Lee Mazzilli?
No, not Lee Mazzilli. No.
Wrong.
I see Bullet. No.
I don't see nothing. I can't see. I'm not a good lip reader. I don't know. I think that's all I
that's
got.
That's all you got?
Yeah. I'm not good with trivia. That's the one thing I wish I would have known coming in here.
What do you mean? You said you'd die hard. What do you think I was going to do?
Wrong. Wrong.
Terrible test take.
Wrong.
Goodness. Well, at least you got the $20.
I got 20. Let me see. One more guy. Hold on.
Kevin Elster was a good one right off the bat.
Tim Bogar?
Tim Bogar, no. No.
Wrong.
He was not one of them. All right, you're done.
Yeah, no, that was terrible. Done. I'm sorry. Thank
now,
you.
Which one were you trying to mouth to?
I believe Cleon Jones.
Cleon Jones, yes, number 21.
Yes.
Anybody else in there?
I was feeling like Carlos Delgado.
Yes. Wow. Yeah. Carlos Delgado.
Right. Kevin McReynolds.
Right. Kevin McReynolds was not 21. No, he was 22.
22.
He was 22. I'm surprised no one got this one. Eddie, do you have a 21 in that braid of yours with your Mets fandom?
John Milner.
Milner, no.
Wrong. Wrong.
Ed Cranepool, 21.
But he wore a bunch of numbers, I think.
I remember him. I want to say
17 or 7, right?
7.
He wore for 2 years, he wore.
Yeah, well, that's
2 years he wore 21.
Right.
Right. All right. Let's see who else was in here. Lucas Duda. How you guys forget about Lucas Duda? Number 21.
Right. Can't throw the ball from first base to home plate.
Bobby Jones, Bill Pulsifer, Masato Yoshi, Todd Frazier, Ron Gardenhire. There was a couple of them there. Warren Spahn, War 21.
Todd Frazier being the latest?
The latest actually was Rich Hill this past
year. Rich Hill this past season, okay.
Yeah, look at that. I didn't need to give Hoff the $20 just for the one name. But I felt like that was enough because I was going to embarrass him, you know?
Well, he did a good job. I mean...
No, he did a terrible job.
It was actually awful.
Well, I mean, you did a good job by giving him the $20.
Yeah, I did do that, yeah. He walked out of here $20 failing miserably. Pretty bad. See, I feel like I would have gotten Delgado, Elster, Pulsifer I remembered because of that whole thing. I was a kid. I was into the whole Pulsifer, Wilson, Isringhausen, Was that when you were in or out there, Al?
I was on a break.
You were on a break. So I would have remembered him, but that's I probably would have gotten four of them, and I would have gotten Duda, Lucas Duda. So that's why I said five for Hoff. He's such a diehard, diehard Mets fan. But I'm not good at trivia.
Maybe Pete would be better.
Pete Bellotti?
Yeah.
But now we just did it, and now I feel like, you know?
And he's actually on the board still, yeah?
Yeah, but how great would that be? We just ripped him off that show for our own satisfaction and said, no, we're more important than what you're doing over there.
You'd that be would justified. Be,
that would be pretty ridiculous to do that. But now this computer's all effed up. All right, there we go. All right, I can try it again. I'm willing to give away some more money. You think Evan would be good at this? I'm not going to give Evan my money.
No, yeah. Evan would definitely.
Call him up. How many
do you think he can get?
Why
do we have to call him up, really, honestly?
Well, why not? You want to talk about China again?
Yeah, but the other... no, but the other aspect of that, and I'm not saying that he would do this.
Yeah.
If he's in studio with you, then he can't be looking at a computer or an iPad or something like that.
Evan wouldn't cheat.
I didn't think he would either, but I'm just... Yeah, it's better when it's live.
No, I know. That's why I sprung it on Hoffman like this.
Right.
And he came up with all sorts of names. Tim Bogar. I mean, my God, when was the last time you thought of Tim Bogar? All right, let's go to Warren in Wilmington, North Carolina. What's going on, Warren?
Hey. Hello.
Hey, man. What's going on? What's up?
Oh, no, I know you don't want to talk about China anymore, neither do I.
No, go for it. I took the...
You know, it's not the people of China. It's the government there.
Right.
And, I'm half Caucasian, whatever. And I'm just upset with the hypocrisy of it all. You know, with LeBron James commercial, you know, about social justice, but yet all the clothes and his sneakers were made by people suffering from social injustice. Okay. People that living on dirt floors and making pennies for Nike. And for Nike to get on that bandwagon about social justice is just wrong, and it's not right, and it's just a big lie. And what's worse about what's going on with the clothes and talking about social justice is the batteries being made in the Dominican Republic of Congo by child slave labor. The cobalt that's mined for the batteries is another thing. And I know you guys got nothing to do with that, but...
It's not funny, but it's not. Yeah, we have nothing to do with that.
No.
Although I am a big anti-battery guy. You know?
You are, yeah. So where are the batteries? Yes. Where are the batteries going? We're burying the batteries.
Where are they going? Who's making them? Where are they coming from? That kind of thing.
Right, yeah. I'm more into Mets numbers right now. I don't know
more
why.
Into the Keystone Pipeline.
You think I could give you a Met player? You could give you their
No, please don't do that. Don't do that to me.
I don't know. It's funny, man. Like, we were talking about baseball to start the show.
Yeah.
And how I'm so down on it. Like, I'm telling you, I went from pure baseball dweebdom. Like, knew everything about everybody to now being so pissed off at the sport. I did.
Well, I mean, it's the reality of the sport. And the sport, they'll get through it. I mean, we're not losing games at the moment. And they'll spend a good part of this month trying to get this thing worked out. And hopefully they will, because they need to. They don't. The last thing they need is a work stoppage.
President's Day at the earliest for a settlement.
You think so?
At the earliest.
At the earliest. Sam's in Trenton. What's going on, Sam?
Hey, Boom. Hey, G. What's going on, guys?
What's up, man?
Not much. All I know is our boy Marcus Stroman, he posted yesterday, I think, or the day before, about can't wait to welcome my new son to the world, blah, blah, blah. I replied, I think you should name him Max, as in Max Scherzer, and I was blocked immediately.
Well, of course. Just any sort of reply other than you are the greatest, Marcus. Don't listen to the haters. I love you. Positive vibes. Anything else that you could possibly write to him, you're going to get blocked.
Yeah, he didn't enjoy that at all. And also, can we free Dan yet or no?
Dan and Carteret, you want Dan back then?
I'm a big supporter of Dan.
Big supporter. Are you friendly with him, or are you just a listener that likes to hear from Dan?
No, we're friendly. We speak. We go back and forth messages all the time, every day on Twitter.
Did you tell him you were going to ask for his release today on the with your phone call?
I did not.
Okay. All right. I just want to see if you guys were working in cahoots or not. So
no, this... 0%. I'm just I think he served his time and he deserves a second chance.
He served his time. All right. So if people don't know what we're talking about, Al instituted a Dan and Carteret ban for the regular caller, Dan and Carteret, of course.
You know, and for some of our listeners out there that don't know this, Al has instituted a ban for many people. We don't always talk about those bans, but sometimes those bans come back to haunt us in different ways. But this is all controlled by Al Dukes.
Correct.
Right. So how long did you think that this ban was going to go on for Dan? Do you think it's time yet or
yeah,
not?
I mean, I will let Dan through now, but he's got to. What happened is over the years, Dan went from being a good caller to just, hey, guys,
Right. Just you know, no energy.
Like, no energy.
Thought he could just show up.
Yeah. Yeah, basically. Like he was owed something.
Correct.
Yeah, so that's why, and he's really, really upset about it, and he's tagging us in tweets now. He's become very active on Twitter, even more so than he normally
now
is.
Now he's doing passive-aggressive.
Try to get us
in public,
get our attention.
How long has the ban been in effect?
It's at least 2 weeks.
Yeah, I think I instituted a two-week ban.
Oh, it's a full 2 week ban.
I think so. So I think he's good.
It's been at least, it feels like a month.
And the audience was clamoring for it, basically. I mean, every time Dan called up.
I don't know about clamoring.
Yeah,
there
was
a
clamor. There was certainly a clamor.
That's a little much.
Well, what was the result of the poll? Ban Dan or not ban Dan? Did we do that?
I don't think we did a poll.
It's definitely going to be negative.
Well, we should.
100% going to be negative.
But you know what we should write? We should do one now. Should we allow Dan and Carteret back on the show and see what happens? You know it's going to be mostly no, don't let him back.
Right.
But do you think, let's say if it's anything under 75%, we let him back?
I think he'll get that because now he's got the sympathy. You know, he was built up and now was torn down.
I still think it'll be more like 90% no, don't let him back.
I know, like people love the comeback, you know?
They like the comeback story.
Already in such a short period of time?
Well, what are we talking about?
Then I got this other guy. He just tweeted to me. He's one of the guys that I've shadow banned, I guess you call it. He says, why am I banned from calling? Sometimes you get banned for calling because you call so much like that it's insane. And then I think you're insane. So like, let's say this is Eric who's asking. So I know Eric because I see Eric and there's a guy, Mark. I mean, they're all calling now, all the banned people. Here's what happens. Like, let's say he calls in and they were on the air yesterday. Then they call back again today. I might go, I'm not going to pick them up. We just had them on, you know. Then I see them calling for 4 hours. Then tomorrow they call for 4 hours. Now you're banned totally because I think this person's insane.
You're a psychopath, yeah.
Yes. So that's what happened.
Is that Eric, the Eric in Ronkonkoma that calls the overnights all the time?
No. There's an Eric in Miami when you were going through purchasing your house, every day he would call.
Yes, I remember this.
And it was just like, it's enough with the, yes, we get it. You're also getting a house. It just wasn't going anywhere. So I was like, let me give him a rest for a day. And then it was just like pounding.
Right. Yeah,
it'll come up, you know, 4,000 calls, 2 times on the air.
Yeah, I can't. I can't.
Legit.
It's crazy to have that much time. I mean, but
the best part of being home with, you know, during the COVID, you know, lockdowns. Was that you didn't have to deal with any of this.
I know, but I would get so annoyed when I would hear them getting on the air. Because
that'd be
so nice. Yeah.
Oh, yes.
And there'd be all people I would never answer. And I knew all the callers that Eddie was putting through. I was like, oh, I would never put this guy.
And then Eddie would put little addendums on the end. And be like, this is Dave from West Orange, who might be a mute. She'd be like, what? Why are you putting him up? Very old man calling in. I feel bad for him. Just a quick one. Just do quick, pick him up and then hang up very quickly. Please.
I am not cut out for call.
He's too nice.
Yeah, way too nice.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Gio.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.